evening and welcome to the Belco Theater at the Colorado Convention Center. Again, my name is Elbra Wedgeworth and I serve as the Chief Government and Community Affairs Officer at Denver Health. Raise your hand if you've heard about Denver Health. All right. When I first received the phone call, my assistant said this week, she came to my office, she said, Elbra, Secretary Clinton's staff is on the phone. I said, yeah, right, Jennifer, you know. And she stood in the hall, her eyes wide open. She's like, Elbra, Secretary Clinton's people are on the phone. And I said, okay, I'll pick it up. And she was right. So after I got over my initial shock, I was so honored to know that I would be here tonight with all of you to not only welcome Secretary Clinton, but welcome her to my hometown of Denver. So, thank you. I would have to introduce her. I would do like probably all of you might do. I Googled her bio, right? And it was 101 pages. And I'm a native Denver girl, so I thought, I know my Denver and Colorado folks. There is no way you would let me get away with reading 101 pages of her bio. So what I decided to do is to speak from my heart. And so tonight, it's my pleasure and honor to introduce an amazing woman. She's a woman of the world. She's one of the most incredible women that we will ever meet in our lifetime. She's a daughter, a mother, a wife, a grandmother, an author, an activist, a lawyer, First Lady of Arkansas, First Lady of the United States of America. United States Senator of New York. Democratic nominee for president. Secretary of State. The first woman to be nominated to be President of the United States. So please join me and give a warm Denver, Colorado welcome to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
The Mile High City. I am excited to have this conversation that Elbra and I will have in a few minutes. I love coming here, and I was so pleased to see Governor Hickenlooper here earlier to talk about some of the exciting things that are going on in Denver and across Colorado. And I, of course, have to start by thanking you for our great victory in the 2016 I am so grateful for the support I received across the state, and it was thrilling because this is a state that's really about the future. It is a place that is looking to get stronger and better and more dynamic, and that meant a lot to me. I'm going to say just a few words about the book, and then we'll have our conversation. But I guess I have to start by saying that having the chance to talk with you about my new book, What Happened, is a real treat for me, because as I write in the book, I have often felt in the past that, you know, I had to be careful in public, kind of keep my guard up. Well, those days are over. Book was to pull the curtain back on one of the wildest elections in American history, talk about some of the moments that still frustrate me, including in a chapter called Those Damn Emails. But also moments that I want to remember forever, like the way it did feel to stand on the stage in Philadelphia and become the first woman to accept the major party's nomination. I am still proud of the campaign we ran and the 65.8 million Americans who supported that. But I have to tell you, writing this book, starting very soon after the election, was a painful process. Ultimately, it was cathartic and also reinvigorating. So these days, when people ask me how I'm doing, I say, well, as a person, I'm okay. But as an American, I am really concerned. There's a lot of reason for that, and it's why this book is as much about the future as about the past, because I hope there are lessons in it that you feel apply to you and that we also can learn from and apply to our country going forward. And so here are just four brief ones from the book. First, everyone gets knocked down. What matters is whether you get back up and keep going.
Yep.
And from my perspective, everybody's not going to lose a presidential election, but people are going to have other forms of loss. And since Election Day, one of the most important questions that I'm asked by people is, how did you even get out of bed? And I tell folks that, look, there were times when I was tempted just to pull the covers back over my head, but I decided that I needed to get back up. I spent time with friends and family. I took a lot of walks in the woods. I read a bunch of mystery novels because, you know, usually in the end, the bad guy gets it.
Well, thank you so much again, Secretary Clinton. We're so proud to have you here. And I personally, because I am very proud to tell you that I was a Clinton delegate to the Philadelphia Convention.
Yay!
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So please let us share your thoughts with us, because we're really, you know, looking forward to your answers here. The first one that I have for you, it seems to us at home that our elected representatives sometimes drift away from their community roots. Might you have some suggestions on how to re-engage them, particularly in issues like healthcare and homelessness, education, and also equity issues?
You are absolutely right. And look, the principal problem we face, I believe, is the way we finance political campaigns. And during the campaign, one of the first things I said was, we have to change that, and we have to do everything necessary to repeal Citizens United, one of the worst decisions the Supreme Court has ever made. Now, I say that because it's not just that so much money flooding into the system that is unaccountable, even not disclosed, largely generated by interest groups and corporations and billionaires who want to kind of capture the system through capturing individual representatives. That's more easily seen in Washington, but it happens in states too. And when people on the right, and I will talk mostly about them because that's where this pressure is coming from, decide they're going to pursue their ideological or their commercial partisan agendas, they use money as a club to get people to fall in line.
Madam Secretary, many in this audience are shocked and horrified by the rising gun violence in the country. While we all pray for the victims and their families, you touched on it earlier, but give us your thoughts how we can be more effective to reaching out to making change in this area.
It is hard for me because I think about all of the places I have visited and all of the people I have met across this country who are survivors, who are the families of victims. The first time I met with people was in Columbine. I will never forget what that felt like. Going from table to table of families, trying the best I could, along with my husband, to offer some words of solace and sympathy. I've met families who lost loved ones or had them injured in Aurora. Across our country, we have seen so many mass killings. And what we now are almost desensitized to is how many killings continue to happen every day that never make the headlines. A man just killed his wife and then went off and shot up an elementary school and killed others. Barely a blip. I think 5 were killed. So I am really making a plea that we've got to help liberate the Republican Party from the grip of the insanity of the NRA and the gun lobby.
Madam Secretary, I serve as an executive to one of Colorado's largest safety net hospitals. And we see families and communities reeling from the impact of the opioid epidemic, almost on a daily basis. While the current White House has acknowledged the epidemic, healthcare budgets are still being cut, as you spoke to earlier. Now there's further plans to gut the ACA and attaching it to the tax bill. So what exactly is going on here?
I don't know, it's even worse than I thought it would be, I can tell you that. I write about the opioid addiction in the book because I saw so much of the pain that it causes as I traveled around the country in 2015 and 16. And I said I would do something immediately upon becoming president. I laid out a full set of plans to do that. And you know, my opponent said he saw it as a problem and he would do it. And of course, there's no new money, there's no plan, there's no leadership. It's just rhetoric. And people are dying. I think it's now like 90 a day who are dying across the country. And here's what I'm really upset about, because what Elver just said is so painfully true. When you not only don't fulfill the promise you made to have a concerted effort to deal with this emergency, but worse than that, this tax bill is going to cut Medicaid and Medicare. The tax bill is going to cut dramatically the Affordable Care Act, where at least 13 million people will lose their health care. I do not understand how anyone can look in the mirror and say they want to cut the healthcare safety net to give the Koch brothers and the Mercer family and all of these billionaires another tax cut. It's outrageous. And the only way we're going to be able to beat it, the House passed their version, and I'll tell you, if we can't beat a bunch of Republican House members who voted for that horrible bill in 2018, shame on us. Because they'll hurt the very people they represent. You know, this bill is aimed for the top 1%. You know how many 1%ers live in most congressional districts? Not very many. The 99% who deserve to have a member of Congress looking out for them, the 1% is already doing really well. And so these Republican Congress members, and look it up when you get a chance tonight, find out if the Republicans in Colorado voted for it, and begin today to try to defeat them in November of 2020.
way we do things in Colorado. But we have recognized that you've dedicated your entire career to us with your leadership and your wisdom, and we sincerely thank you. But you are a role model for men and women, and you've been thoughtful about the legacy, the empowerment to younger people, and you have spoken about that tonight. But our next generation of leaders is so critical to how we're going to lead this country and the world. So any other parting words of wisdom that you'd like to give to the audience tonight, especially our younger people that are here?
Well, I just have to say how impressive it is to see the dynamism and creativity among young people in our country right now. But it's also impressive to see how inclusive young people are, how they value diversity. How excited they are in every place that I go to think about ways to influence the future. And I think that partly because of the past election, but there's been a growing awareness among a lot of young people that they have more at stake in elections than anybody else. And they have to be more involved and more engaged. In Virginia, we saw a big increase in young voters turning out, and we have to keep that going. I would hope that young people in Colorado, and particularly here in Denver where we are, who are truly on the cutting edge of so much that is going to determine the quality of our life that we have together in the future, will really take their responsibility as a citizen seriously, because we've got so much to contribute, and we can't let the forces of negativity and divisiveness stop that from happening. You know, if you look at a map of the country and you see where I won and where I lost, it looks like there's so much red, and there is. But here's the most interesting statistic that somebody pulled out for me the other day. I won places that represent 2/3 of the economic activity, the GDP of America. I won places that are primarily positive about the future and the opportunity to help shape that future. That is what I hope more people in more places in our country have a chance to be part of. I know that there are depressed and distressed areas everywhere, and in some places, you know, very intensely. But we've got to find ways where we start listening to each other, where we come around tables where we work on solving problems together. We are not going to be the America we are fully capable of being if we don't cross the lines that divide us, whether they are racial lines or sexual orientation lines or gender lines or even partisan lines. We have got to take this moment when it seems so sad about what's happening and failing to happen, and when it just looks like people in Washington are literally off the rails, doing things that make no sense, exploding the deficit for no reason other than keeping their contributors happy, imposing huge debts without requisite concern, and certainly without any hope that economic growth will come from that kind of irresponsibility. So we need people of all ages, but particularly young ages, to just say, no, we are not going to put up with that. We want the kind of future that Denver is making for itself. We want the kind of future that Colorado represents. We want the kind of future where everybody is invited to bring their talents and their hard work and get involved and make a difference and create a better life for you.